Okay then, app users, let's carry on, shall we? I'm just going to talk about a few more shows. I said before that really the best way to do this would be to devote individual episodes to all of these programs, and that way you can actually hear clips from the shows and I can help you understand them and understand the jokes. And, you know, as ever, I do plan to do that. I've got, you know, I've said before, I've got a big list of episodes that are partly planned, and some of them include clips from these shows. The next one I'm going to talk about is called Black Books. It's a sitcom from the late 1990s and early 2000s. And Black Books is about a guy who runs a bookshop in London. And there are three main characters in the show. There's Bernard, who runs the bookshop. And then his sort of his friend, who he works with. And then there's the woman who works in the shop next door. So the three main characters. And essentially, Bernard works in a bookshop selling books to the public. He loves books, but the problem is he hates people. He also loves wine and smoking. So it's a bit like Withnail and I in the form of a sitcom. And it's absolutely wonderful, and I highly recommend that you check it out. Next show is called Absolutely Fabulous, or Ab Fab for short. A hugely successful show on the BBC in the 1990s. And Absolutely Fabulous stars Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French. Is it Dawn French? No, it's not, is it? It's just Jennifer Saunders and who's the other woman in it? What's her name? Joanna Lumley, that's it. Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley. And Jennifer Saunders plays this woman, this sort of middle-aged woman who is, I think, a PR agent in London. And basically, these two women who work, I mean, in the vaguest possible sense, in the fashion industry or in PR in London, they try to live like they're still teenagers in swinging London in the late 1960s. So they drink too much, they smoke, they party, even though they're probably a bit too old for it. And it's a very, very funny parody of certain types of middle-aged woman from London. It's brilliant, and it's one of the shows that was a huge success on television in the 1990s, and so many people know about Absolutely Fabulous. It's very funny, very well written, with some hilarious performances in it. I really recommend that you check out Absolutely Fabulous. Next show is called The Thick of It, which can be difficult to pronounce. The Thick of It. If you're in the thick of it, it means that you're in a really sort of pressure situation, right in the middle of it. And The Thick of It is a political satire and sitcom from the late 2000s. And it's a bit like The Office, but instead of it being set in a boring office, it's set in the world of politics in Westminster in London. And basically the message of The Thick of It is that politics is a dog-eat-dog world in which serving the public is the lowest priority. And one of the wonderful things about The Thick of It is the fact that some of the characters swear really, really well. There's lots of really intelligent and very very creative swearing. And the point is that behind the scenes in politics, the idea is that these people are ruthless and venal and bullying. And this is kind of like the world of politics behind the scenes. And it's very cynical and satirical and very, very funny. Peter Capaldi, who used to be Doctor Who, is one of the main characters in the show. And he's absolutely brilliant in this program. That's The Thick of It. They made a film about The Thick of It, which was called In the Loop. So you might have seen In the Loop. If you liked it, you should check out the TV series The Thick of It. It's brilliant. Another show about politics is called Yes, Minister, or also Yes, Prime Minister. This was a political satire and sitcom from the 1970s and 1980s. And before The Thick of It, Yes, Minister was really like the most famous political satire from the UK. And again, the point is that politics is a dog-eat-dog world in which serving the public is the lowest priority. But in this case, with less swearing and more charming, old-fashioned, upper-class sophistication. It's a wonderfully written series with some classic moments and some really great performances by brilliant actors and really clever political satire. And it still stands up today because things like Brexit and the Conservatives versus Labour and, you know, the issues with the with elections and problems in democracy and politics, all of it is included in this programme. And the English that you hear in it is really top quality stuff. It's really well written and perfectly delivered by excellent actors. So Yes Minister is an absolute classic. Another show is called Dad's Army. And Dad's Army is all about, it's a sitcom. It was made in the 60s and 70s, and it's set during World War II, okay? So during World War II, when most of the young men in the country were abroad fighting, at home in the UK, at home, the British had, you know, spent most of their money. And all of their resources were being used fighting against the enemy abroad. And the last line of defence at home were retired men, like old men. And there were divisions of retired men who formed a kind of army that were called the Home Guard. And the Home Guard was a real thing. It was basically retired, aged men who would get together to sort of be probably ineffective final line of defence in the case of an invasion. And the funny thing about this is that it's basically a group of incompetent old granddads who get together to do army-type stuff. Like they have meetings and they do drills and all that sort of thing. But they're old duffers, you know, they're either deaf or senile. And it's hilarious. I can't really explain it. You just have to watch it. It's just an absolute classic. The show is, again, one of those classic shows that everybody knows and that really, it's almost like the spirit of Britain is somehow captured in this show. And my granddad used to absolutely adore watching Dad's Army. And it is a fantastic show. And again, great performances, great writing, very funny jokes, hilarious characters, and just situations where you get these old men in army uniforms just making terrible decisions and getting everything wrong and never really facing any true danger. Fantastic stuff. Let's see. I'm going to do three more and then we'll call it a day. Again, all of these things are written on the page for this episode on the website. Next show I'm going to talk about is called Red Dwarf. And this is one of those shows that I used to watch when I was 13 or 14, 15 years old at home on television when I was eating my breakfast cereal in the kitchen. So Red Dwarf is a science fiction sitcom from the UK. Made in the 1990s. And the idea of the show is that it's set in the future on a big spaceship flying through space. But because this is a British sitcom made by the BBC, it's done fairly cheaply. So the special effects are pretty basic. You know, like the way Doctor Who, like the special effects in Doctor Who are a bit cheapo and pretty basic. It's like that, but a comedy version. And you know, they make fun. A lot of it's based on things like situations we've seen in things like Alien or The Terminator, stuff like that. But it's this gang of incompetent, stupid, flawed British characters. And so the situation is that it's set in the future and basically the human race has died. It's hard to explain, but the human race has died and there's only one human left. And he's on this spaceship, and so the last human being alive is stuck on a spaceship with a hologram of the person that he hates the most in the world. So one person on the ship who he absolutely hated is brought back as a hologram, because basically this the idea was that this is the person who would probably keep him sane. It just happened to be the person he hated the most. So his there's a lot of interaction between these two characters who kind of hate each other, and there's a lot of sarcasm and insults and put downs and stuff, and it's very clever and witty. So the last human being alive stuck on a spaceship with a hologram of the person he hates the most in the world, a senile supercomputer. Senile. When people get old, basically their brains kind of, I guess the brain cells start to go. You know, when someone gets very old, they get a bit simple and a bit slow and a bit sort of stupid, and they get forgetful. I mean, it's quite sad in many cases, in extreme cases, like when you get full-on dementia. But senility is something that affects older people, and it's basically forgetfulness or being a bit slow. So in this case, there's a supercomputer, and because it's so old, it's gone senile. And there's a robot butler, and also a man who evolved from cats. I know, it probably sounds very strange, but... again, it's another show that so many of us watched as teenagers and completely adored. And it's sort of it's like in my soul somehow, this program. It's full of sarcasm. It's full of funny insults and put downs, and also some cheap science fiction special effects. That's Red Dwarf. The next show, this is the penultimate show I'm going to talk about. It's called Gavin and Stacey. And Gavin and Stacey is a sitcom that came onto the TV in the late 2000s. And this show, I mean, I really recommend that you check this one out. Not just because it's a really enjoyable show, but it's the sort of program which I think is accessible to an international audience. I'd be surprised if you didn't like it. It's this kind of show that people use in English language classes and is often very popular. So... I really do recommend that you check out Gavin and Stacey. Gavin and Stacey. Gavin, G-A-V-I-N, and Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y. And essentially, this is a genuinely sweet and heartwarming comedy about two people from two different British communities. So one person from Essex in England, and another character, the girl, comes from Barry Island in South Wales. And they fall in love with each other. And so it's a love story, but also it's the story of these two families from two different communities, one from Wales, one from England. And because these two characters have fallen in love with each other and they have a long distance relationship, the families also end up meeting with each other. And you just get these lovely, colourful, interesting, hilarious and yet sympathetic characters from these English and Welsh families. And it's just really sweet and really heartwarming. That's Gavin and Stacey. And then the last show I'm going to talk about here is called Outnumbered. And Outnumbered was a comedy show on television. I think it's still on TV sometimes. It started in the late 2000s. And Outnumbered is all about family life. And essentially you have two exhausted parents who attempt to bring up three children. And that's why it's called Outnumbered, because the parents are outnumbered by the children. So these two exhausted parents attempt to bring up three children and they lose the battle most of the time. And the great thing about this show is that the kids are hilarious. And also there's a lot of improvisational comedy in there. So the cool thing is that it's very natural and very cleverly done. So the comedy writers, the people who wrote the show, gave some very funny lines to the children. And so the children would say these lines. But the adult actors were essentially sort of improvising around the things that the children were saying. So it's a combination of children being really natural and funny, while also saying lines that have been given to them by these very clever writers. And the way that the adults improvise and respond to the kids and the funny things that they say. It's charming. It's frightening because you kind of experience firsthand how difficult and exhausting it can be to bring up little kids. And it's also heartwarming because you get this very intimate look at family life in an average family in London. Okay, that's Outnumbered. And I recommend that if you do watch Outnumbered, you should watch it from the beginning, because it's best when the kids are really young. There's a character in it. The youngest girl is called Karen. I think in the early series, she's like four years old or something. And she's so adorable and sweet, but she says the funniest things. And like very, you know, in a sense, very sort of grown-up jokes, like quite satirical jokes about life and observations about life. But they come from the mouth of this very cute little girl. So it's a very clever show, very funny and very sweet as well. Outnumbered. Okay, I can't carry on anymore because we've got to go out and do the shopping. Okay, so anyway, thanks for listening to this bit of bonus audio. And don't forget to check out the website where you'll see the names of all those programs listed so you can check them out for yourselves. Okay, all right, thanks. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Just before we finish, I thought I would play you just one last thing here in the app. And this is Stephen Fry talking about the difference between American comedy characters and British comedy characters. Stephen Fry is a kind of a national treasure from the UK. He's a comedian, a writer, a director, an author, and a brilliant person in general. And this is him giving his considered opinion on the difference between American characters and British characters. And I hope you find it interesting.
We have time for one more question, which will come from the gentleman there.
You talk about the sense of humour, the American sense of humour. We haven't really touched, you haven't mentioned so much the British sense of humour, but do you think they differ hugely? And if so, what accounts for that difference?
It's a really good point. I think... I mean, it strikes at the heart of what is American optimism. Is a really important thing, but not only optimism, but a refusal to see oneself in a bad light, or you know, one could talk about this for far too long. But if you go to an American bookshop, by far the biggest section is self-help and improvement. The idea that life is refinable and improvable, and that you can learn a technique for anything, whether it's lovemaking, being a businessman, a marriage, cooking, losing weight, whatever it is, there's an NLP way of doing it, there's an Anthony Robbins way of doing it, there's a things they didn't teach you at Harvard way of doing it. There's an unbelievable sense that life is improvable, that you can be lectured at, or indeed given a sermon at, you know, that's... It's the Protestant base of America that things are done by text and by works, as opposed to by submission and by, you know, a doctrine in the way that the higher church, you know, European, you know, rump, we still believe. And there is a sense of original sin in Europe. I mean, this is a bizarre theory that I won't push to its limit, but when it comes to comedy, it's satisfactorily, I think, obvious that... The American comic hero is a wisecracker who is above his material and who is above the idiots around him. And the British comic, put it this way, the American comic hero, like John Belushi or someone like that, isn't it? You know that scene in Animal House where there's a fellow playing folk music on a guitar and John Belushi picks up the guitar and destroys it? And the cinema loved it because he just smashes it and then waggles his eyebrows at the camera. Everyone says, God, he's so great. Well, a British comedian would want to play the folk singer. We want to play the failure. All the great British comic heroes are people who want life to be better and on whom life craps from a terrible height and whose sense of dignity is constantly compromised by the world letting them down. They want to wear a tie. They're not quite smart enough to wear an old school tie because they're kind of lower middle class. They are Arthur Lowe in Dad's Army. They are Anthony Aloysius Hancock. They are Basil Fawlty. They are Del Boy. They are Blackadder. They're not quite the upper echelons, and they try to be decent and right. Everything tries to be proper. They're even David Brent from The Office. And their lack of dignity is embarrassing. They are a failure. They are an utter failure. They're brought up to expect empire and respect and decency and being able to wear a blazer in public, and everyone around them just goes... Whereas the American hero is the smart talking, he's Jim Carrey and he's Ben Stiller and he's, you know, whoever, he just goes all the way back. They can wisecrack their way out of any situation. They win the girl, they're smarter, they've got the biggest knob in the room. The British guy arrives in the room and says, oh my God, I've left my knob behind. I haven't even got one. And in a sense, comedy is the microcosm that allows us to examine the entire difference between our two cultures.